Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello everyone, welcome. Tim Gossage in the chair for Dwayne Russell. Thanks for your company over the next 3 hours. Wherever you are, we want your involvement and you know how to do it. It is midday madness time. You call, we guarantee you'll get through and get on. Thanks to Werribee Kia. Also, I can tell you that we have talking footy, and more footy. We're talking racing because the roads are going to Geelong today because it is the Group 3 400,000 Geelong Cup and we think we've got the winner. Well, we think we've found the trainer who owns the winner. She's a mighty mare called Charlie Rose. She's entered for the Melbourne Cup and win today or run a bold race and she will be in the race to finish second to incentivise. We'll be chatting with Simon Wild. Ozzie Jones will join us to talk about all things St Kilda and where they're at, of course, as a former Saints man. And the Temper Text machine is open and running. So today, footy, basketball. Ben Simmons continues to make headlines for all the wrong reasons. It's ugly, isn't it? Don't like reading about it. I certainly didn't like seeing it. It was a bit of petulance there from Ben. He's got to be better than that, especially when we're on such a big coin and under contract. And, of course, Paddy Mills is in action, and we'll keep you updated if you don't want to know the scores of that game. Of course, he's playing for the Brooklyn Nets, making his debut against the Milwaukee Bucks today. Game one of the season. And if you don't want to know the score, we'll be giving you updates, but I'll give you the look-away moment that you need, of course. But he started well, Ben. Paddy, coming off the bench. Ben's not going anywhere anytime soon. Midday madness time. And today's topic I want to open up with, and, you know, we are predominantly in Melbourne. You're all in Melbourne, of course, and we love the Melbourne Cup. I had the fortune of working on 7 or 8 Melbourne Cups when Channel 10 had the rights way back when racing was racing and fashion and TV celebrities didn't dominate the airwaves. But it was when racing was hardcore and the activity on course was hardcore. And I had the privilege of being in the bookmakers' ring for Network 10 at the time and saw so many great people. It was when the real bookmakers were there and there was cash and the sort of mobile phone calls from big names were just starting to get busy. Now, of course, they have to clash hard with the corporate bookmakers and the like, and nothing wrong with that because it makes for big business. But what I'm asking you today, let us know, 1-300-736-736 or text away 0433-98-1116. Don't want to delve right deep into the hardcore punt and form. I want to get your history, your memories of the early Melbourne Cups. Now, that could be as a young man or a young woman, could have been as a punter, could have been as a worker inside the racing industry. Your first memory that jumps off the page and that stuck with you over the journey. I've got several, obviously, through various forms. I love the horses. I love tipping on horses. I love doing the form. Used to enjoy having a wager or three and then having worked in the racing industry for some time as well. I've got three. Here are my three, and I'll explain to you why. Let's go back to 1983.
Comment and Mr. Jazz settle down to fight it out. Noble Comment ahead in front and flying home is Kiwi. What a run. One of the biggest performances you can ever see in the Melbourne Cup. Kiwi's flown home on the outside and won it running away. 2 lengths to Noble Comment. Mr. Jazz has run third.
I just remember Kiwi winning the Melbourne Cup because it came from nowhere. We'd never heard of Jim Cassidy at the time. Big horse, big mare, strange jockey style from Jimmy, high up in the irons. And I think that was Peter Donegan calling the Melbourne Cup. The great Donners, legend, one of my all-time faves. He could commentate anything, PD. He is genuinely one of the superstars of media. So that was my very first memory of a Melbourne Cup. Now, my first wager on a Melbourne Cup, I was sitting in the lounge room on my own. The family were all off at work doing their thing. I think I was wagging school, to be brutally honest with you. It was Tuesday in Perth, and the cup used to go at about 11:30 in the morning. And I think I had $5 each way on this horse.
Corey May's got to this one. Our boyfriend with Butternut. What a nuisance. I'm a prince and feeder. Wah. What a nuisance goes to Corey May. Corey May and what a nuisance. What a nuisance wins the fastest Melbourne Cup. And knows the Corey May. Third and flashing up would have been Tripsicum. The camera will split them. But what a nuisance has won the Foster's Melbourne Cup from Corey May.
Yeah, 1985, Pat Hyland. That was, I think that was one of Lloyd Williams' early winners. Of course, I think he had just a dash before that. But we're talking about what a nuisance. So that was my first wager in the Melbourne Cup, and it won. And I remember that day. I was 20 years of age in 1985. Now, in 1998, as part of my role, as I mentioned at Channel 10, was being in the bookmakers' ring. And when I arrived on course, there was a plunge on two horses, Champagne and Jezebel. And it was a Kerry Packer-led plunge. And I remember them crossing down to me throughout the day, Peter Donegan and Tim Webster. And they were crossing down, and Jenny Chapman, and they were asking me, you know, was this horse shorting there? So it was the two shorteners were Champagne and Jezebel, and it was a massive plunge, 1998.
Jezebel and Champagne, Yorkshire pushing through from Toffin's Melody, Persian Punch, Champagne from Jezebel, Champagne and Jezebel kicking back, Jezebel kicks on the inside, Jezebel beat Champagne and New Zealand Quinella, Persian Punch third from Yorkshire, Toffin's Melody.
Yeah, Jezebel winning in 1998. There were so many other great memories, of course. We know that the media puzzle memory was enormous for so many reasons. Kieran McAvoy on Brew when it carried no weight. What are your memories? Your first Melbourne Cup memories. That's what we're after. In the midday madness, whether it be on track, whether it be your favourite horse in a Melbourne Cup, your biggest win, did you jump the fence? Did you watch it down the back straight? Where do you remember your Melbourne Cup memory, your first Melbourne Cup memory? That's what we're after this morning. Give us a call. 1300 736 736 is the number. Love to get your calls on that, or text away 0433 98 11 16. Well, just an update on the temper text. Now, I'm not going to get... Okay, let's just straighten things up. To those on the text line, debut, really, it's pronounced debut. Thank you. Just a little bit of a play on the word there. Just having a bit of fun with you. It's a lot. Anyway, it don't matter. What about this one? You wouldn't have been wagging school to public holiday. No, not in Perth. It's not. No, we used to stop school for the Melbourne Cup. We used to stop down tools even when we were little kids. And the teacher would put the Melbourne Cup up on the radio. My mum gave me $20. This is on the temper text line. My mum gave me $20 to spend as a 12-year-old. Gamble responsibly. It's illegal. She suggested to put a couple of $2 bets, spread it across the field a little. So I studied the form, and I decided to ignore my mum and put my lazy 20 on Rogan Josh to win in 1999. Thank you very much. Don't forget, always put your name on the text as well. Love to get your name when you're texting in, because it not always appear. But Lynn in Geelong says, only cup I was at was Kiwi. In Geelong, it was not a public holiday. There you go. Wasn't a public holiday in Geelong. Took the day off teaching. and went to the Melbourne Cup. That was the only time you went. But Light Fingers at a radio was Lynn's first memory, of course. So fantastic. Let us know your Melbourne Cup memory, of course. We're not after the deep, dark depths of having a punt right here, but you can share that if you wish. Let's go to Sam's in Adelaide. He's got a Melbourne Cup memory. Sam, thank you.
G'day. When I reckon I was around about 7 or 8, Dad took us down to Morphettville, Melbourne Cup Day, and Kylie Minogue was a entertainment for the day down there. Gorgeous looking girl, and they come out, all the horses come out. Sub-Zero come out. All I saw was Kylie with the blonde hair, and my dad said, geez, that's a good looking horse, and we were looking at her, and we backed it because of that. And I'll tell you what, mate, I've loved Kylie ever since.
Oh, nice work by you. Thank you very much there, Sam in Adelaide. Falling in love on the same day. Eddie says, I won a $100 sweep as a 7-year-old on Black Knight back in 1984. It was Peter Cook for George Hanlon, owned by Robert Holmes Accord. Who can remember the maroon with the white crest in the front as well? Dave from North Melbourne says he switched off after hearing Debut. I didn't think anyone could be as bad as Dwayne. Oh, David, you haven't switched off. Debut is just a thing I say, as if. I mean, settle down, Dave. Relax, it's Wednesday, Dave. It's happy Wednesday. It's wacky Wednesday. Cam from Churnside Park is texting away. What about today? That's because it's a public holiday today in Geelong for the Geelong Cup. I'm 34 years old, and this is from Glenn in Greg in Glenroy. Thank you. I'm 57 years of age, and I recall Baghdad Note winning in 1970. 1970, Baghdad Note won. Yes, it did, by Midge Didham, trained by Robert Heasley, of course. And I was wrapped because it was a grey, and my first bet was $5 on Leilani in 1974. And it lost to Think Big. Greg from Glenroy, he was devastated of that. Love to get your calls on the open line for Werribee Kia. Kia My 22 Stonic is now in stock. 1-300-736-736. Chris in South Yarra. Ollie swearing on TV after Doremus won. I was 7 years of age and I wagged as well. He's in the industry now and he's hooked for life. Good on you, Chris. Love it. And let's go to another Chris who's given us a call on the open line. As I said, if you ring, you can get on. You can dictate the terms of what we talk about today. He's on the Gold Coast. He wants to talk about Australian cricket. G'day, Chris. Thanks for calling.
No worries. Yeah, first of all, yeah, my first memory of the Melbourne Cup was Mighton Power winning, and I was lucky enough to see Mighton Power at Living Legends about 5 or 6 years ago, so that was really, really special to be able to do that.
I backed Mighton Power to win a race one day, and I'm pretty sure it was at Flemington, it might have been Caulfield. It went around as $1.01. Went down as $1.01, and I put $10 on to win 10 cents just to say that I backed Might and Power.
Yeah, I did the same thing with Caviar. And interesting note, too, is Might and Power went at 50-1 in its last race, too. So, but it was a great horse. But about the cricket, I'm just a bit concerned with the lack of cricket we've played and, we got short memories. We couldn't roll an Indian seaside at the Gabba 10, 11 months ago. So I'm 32 years old, and if we were to lose this Ashes with all the infighting going on, I think this would be even lower than the South African saga, as I felt that wasn't. That was blown out of proportion at the time, so I'm a bit concerned. I think our bowling attack will be the thing that holds us up. But in saying that, we couldn't get it out India at the Gabba without Kohli.
Yeah, well, that's a good call, Chris, and the proof will be in that pudding, won't it? Because we look forward to seeing what Australia can do. The funny part is, I mean, we all talk about the World T20, and it's such the World T20 for me. Look, I like big bash cricket. At its prime, I think it's been squeezed, the lemon's been squeezed a bit too much now, but I still enjoy it. I still enjoy the entertainment factor. The game's just got to be a little bit quicker and probably a few less games. But as far as the Ashes is concerned, that's the one I care about. And I don't care whether we win 1-0 and there's four draws or 2-1, whatever it may be. The Ashes are the Ashes. You put them in your back pocket and you move on. And that will shore up Justin Langer's tenure, I would imagine. But he's got to take some credit if they win. And he's also got to take some heat if they lose. A lot of people texting in with great memories. And I mean a lot of people. I'm not going to be able to get to all of your texts, but keep them coming and keep the calls coming as well. Midday Madness time, 1-300-736-736 is the number. Or text away 0433-98-11-16. G'day, Tim. Ian, listening in Perth on the app. Good on you. Ian, thank you. I backed What a Nuisance too. You say you were 20 in WAG school. What year were you in? Now, that's a very good question. What must have WAG work? In fact, it was work. Couldn't have been school. Mind you, my best 4 years were in year 12. Love the show. Doing a great job, Ian. That's a good pickup, Ian. Very good pickup. What about Chris? Says, I was in kindy in 81. The teachers wheeled the TV in on a portable stand into the classroom, pulled back the concertina doors, which divided the classrooms. Kindy to grade 3 all watched Just a Dash Storm Home while we took from then on. That's what it does. We've got great memories of that. And I know it probably doesn't happen now and there's a bit of the gamble responsibly and we don't want to promote gambling inside our kids' lives. But you know what? You let your hair down once a year, don't you? I mean, my family's not into gambling in any way, shape or form, but they all still pick a horse on Melbourne Cup Day. They don't even stop for it. They just get home with the tickets. They want to know what the result was. Anyway, brilliant. What about a couple of others? Earliest cup memory was Mum having $20 on Hyperno in 79. She was happy with the win, but the tragedy of Dulcify. Yeah, I get that, Ben. Anything we lose, of course, any racehorse that we lose is sad. But we're, for the best part, don't get me started on people who want to pay out and and rip into the racing industry. They love their horses, and they are looked after better than those. And you drive down to the bush and you see horses standing in the paddock in the middle of winter with no love, no support, no feed. They're the ones I'd be concerned about, not the racing industry ones. A guy I played cricket with who knew nothing about the punt back vintage crop because he likes smoking pot. Alrighty. Gee, we get them all, don't we? Keep the calls coming. 1-300-736-736 for Werribee Kia. The memories are flooding in. And I want to hear from you as well. And don't forget the temper text machine, 0433-98-1116. Geez, gosh, you've upset a few of the sensitive males. Yeah, I know. I know. Big Brian's listening in Bali. He had $2 each way on Kiwi as a 13-year-old in Perth. Wow, that is a great memory as well. Johnny Miller, hi Tim, I remember watching Zyima and Galilee in 66. I backed Zyima, finished second many years later. I rode track work with Johnny Miller for Greg Mance. Good on your pony from Moral Bark. That's the type of stuff we're talking about. Your memories, positive memories. And there's a few people are saying, oh, we could have gone to SEN track for the racing memory. Yeah, but you don't get the great stories. That's a punting station. That is a pie, a palmy and a pint type of station where the boys go gangbusters. I'm looking for memories and a trip down memory lane. Love to get your calls. Shall we take a break? Let's take a break and we'll come back. If Nick from Hoppers Crossing, good on you, mate. We'll get your memory in a moment. Thanks to Werribee Kia, 1-300-736-736, the Midday Madness time, or temper text us. There's thousands coming in. We all love the Melbourne Cup. It's the race that stops the nation. There's a cliche for you. This is Dwayne's World. Tim Gossage in the chair. Thanks for your company. Don't forget Midday Madness time. More calls. And you can do so by calling 1-300-736-736 or temper text away. A mattress like no other. 0433-98-1116. Chris is on the road in Perth. He says, 2 hours of talking about horse and gambling. No thanks. I'll be switching off. Chris, that's not what this is about. Chris, this is not about talking about gambling. It's about talking about memories, about racing, and whether you like it or not. I mean, not everyone likes footy. But, Chris, what we do is we open up the line for you to talk about whatever you like, so you control the narrative. And Nick wants to talk about racing, but John coming up wants to talk about footy. So we've got a bit of an eclectic mix. But thank you, Chris, and I know you won't go too far away. You're a loyal listener to the network. Nick's in Hoppers Crossing. Block your ears now, Chris. He wants to talk about the Melbourne Cup. G'day, Nick.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good.
Good. Yeah, my first memory, looking back at it, it was a very, very long time ago. Nearly 50 years, whatever it called, 1973. I went with my dad there at the track first time. We looked at the little book, you know, the little book that we got all the races and all that. And we sort of have a tip. It was called Gala Supreme.
Oh, yes.
It was a very good horse. It just won that year. I don't know how much it won. I can't remember. I was a kid, 9 years old. And that was my first time actually live and first time actually looking at a race and seeing what the Melbourne Cup is, kind of thing. And I was surprised. And then I found out some research. The jockey was the first ever Aboriginal jockey ever.
Yeah, Frankie Reyes.
Yeah, that's it. So not many people know about that one.
Nah,
so
great
that's
story.
That's a record. Yep. And then I started betting, when was it, 1977, at a 13-year-old. I came second, or the horse came second.
Gamble responsibly. Gamble responsibly, Nick. You're only 13.
Yes, yes. I was surprised now looking back at it as a 13-year-old. How can you be allowed to be betting at that age? But that's how it was then.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
how it was then. And then I tipped the two winners, 78, 79. Like you would say, back to back.
Oh, there you go. You went R1 into high. You went Harry White, did you? R1 into high Perno.
Yeah, yeah. Harry was a very good jockey. Very good jockey. He won about four Melbourne Cups, and back to back. And then 82
nice
also. I tipped it. Gurner's Lane. So I've heard
good on you.
Good luck here and there. But as a kid, that was my first time actually going out there. I think it was a nice day. It was different atmosphere. I go, what's this? A horse race. Okay, okay. Nice. So I'll sit there, really crowded. And as a kid, looked at the book, let's tip this one. I go, oh, this sounds good. We'll tip him. Gala Supreme. And then one.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well done. That's a great story. So there's some great memories there from Nick. Scotty says it's a great topic. How's the bloke who won on Rogan Josh? I reckon it was a 33-1. He would have walked away with pockets full. I remember being at the Werribee Cup 1 year. This absolute donkey called Maccabi Diva leapt out of the pack with a blistering run and one going away. From that time, it got into the cup. The rest is history. Good on you, Scotty. Nice work by you. John's in Port Augusta. He wants to talk about footy players. G'day, John, thank you for calling.
Hello, Tim. I know you're a proud team grower and all the rest of it.
No.
How good was Stephen Michael, Billy Walker and all these blokes? I've read about them in the Australian Football Hall, Australian Record Season Guide and all the rest of it. But obviously we've heard in South Australia growing up, we had absolute rats on Stephen Michael from South Fremantle.
Yep.
Like, he's probably South Australia's Barry Robert, if you like. Had plenty of opportunities to go to the next level.
Yep.
But was pretty loyal to South Fremantle, and same as Barry Robin was loyal to North here.
Yep.
And all the rest. Yeah, how good was Stephen Michael?
Oh, he was a superstar.
I don't know.
Oh,
reckon he was, yeah.
Nah, John, let me tell you, you speak to people nowadays, and they had him up there, and be careful comparing eras and players, but what he could do was Polly Farmer-esque, and he struggled to come up from down south in the deep dark depths of WA up to Frio, didn't want to leave his family, went across the Nullarbor Plain, got taken out, I think, by a scout of Geelong Football Club. It was freezing cold in the middle of nowhere, and he went, this is not for me. I'd rather be home. And they weren't paying him in pie and sauce over in Western Australia, so he decided to stay back. But I don't think he has any regrets in outgoing. He was an absolute bona fide superstar. He's now coaching women's footy over here. He's a very proud Indigenous man. He doesn't drink. He works down in Collie, which is about a couple of hours south of Perth. He works incredibly hard. I had the privilege of interviewing him when he was entered into the WA Football Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. And let me just tell you, I mean, you can hear so many stories. I mean, what a great year it was in those days, playing alongside Maurice Rioli against the Cracker Brothers and Moss and Mille Lacs and Blackwell and Aitken and so many others. Absolute star. So what you hear about Stephen Michael is true. He was a genuine superstar. And the big fight in the 81 grand final, when a guy by the name of Basil Campbell, you wore a big helmet, number 30, came up and cleaned up the Claremont ruckman, Barry Beecroft, knocked him out. Big fight. The Crackers were shaping up and everyone. And Stephen Michael came in and grabbed Jimmy Cracker, not to remonstrate, not to do anything, just to keep Jimmy Cracker away, because he wanted Jimmy Cracker to focus and play in that grand final. And he did. And Jimmy Cracker was a star on the day. Fantastic. Enjoying the show. This is Glenn of Highton. Be interested to hear if you ever worked on any West Australian regional radio or TV stations when you started out. My very first gig was with a Curtin radio station with Peter Vlahos, who has something to do with SENWA, of course, does drive over in the West and does a lot of soccer and the likes. And it was on a Saturday morning. I used to clean the bins at 6PR radio station on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. And that's how I got attached with the industry. So, loved it very much so. And my first TV gig was in Perth, but I lived in Melbourne for a couple of years. But thank you. Thank you for your call, Glenn. We're getting so many callers. Ben Simmons needs to sort his life out, said Dean. No NBA team will want a difficult member on their roster. He'll end up going nowhere. You're right. I do think there's an issue there with Ben Simmons. We're going to play a few grabs a little bit later after the news. Well, let's get the news away. But don't forget, tell us your Melbourne Cup memories. There's so many. We can't even get to them all. We've got so many. Thanks to Werribee Care or Tempertex, 0433 98 11 16. Tim Gossage in the chair, or Goosage, as most of you are saying this morning. Love it. Bring it on, Donkey Kong. This is Dwayne's World. Yeah, remember. Do you remember your Melbourne Cup journey, your Melbourne Cup stories? Keep the calls coming. But again, you can control what we talk about. So far, we've had footy, we've had cricket, we've had racing. There it is. You do control the narrative, contrary to popular belief. 1300 736 736. Too much hate out there today. If you don't want to listen, see you later. Don't let the door hit on the backside. Come back when you're ready. Werribee Kia, Kia My22 Stonic. Now in stock, 1300 736 736. Ben Simmons will be playing with Lithuania if he's not careful. Well, because they pay big money over in Lithuania. Let's go back to hearing exactly. Sab Medmund is going to join us very, very shortly. In fact, he's not far away. We're going to get a news wrap. We're going to talk about Ben Simmons. The Michael Slater news is big. We just heard that as well. We've got Australia taking on India, and there's a bit of a Champions League with Sammy Edmund. I think Sammy must be right up across us. And don't forget, if you want to watch the T20 World Cup, you can do so courtesy of KO. It's exclusive to Fox Cricket, available on KO. John says, G'day, Goss. The Wednesday before this year's grand final, I paid for an online video from a Melbourne player, James Harms, to give a shout-out to my uncle, a long-time, long-suffering member.